Thanks for listening to Resume on Podcast One.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Today on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, we are joined by actor, producer, director, author. What else can you do, Bryan Cranston?
I sweep floors.
You do?
And I load a dishwasher really, really well.
Do you unload it?
Not too many.
Okay.
Too many.
We could give you a job in our
house.
The
talent is loading it, not unloading.
No, the talent is buying the dishes that fit together and not the dishes that I buy that don't fit in the dishwasher.
Well, I could teach you how they can fit.
Okay, Bryan, thank you. That's Bryan Cranston on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to listen on Podcast One or through the Podcast One app and Apple Podcasts.
The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. Live music, stand-up comedy, and buttloads of Mangria. June 17th in Long Beach at D Piazza's. June 22nd in Fresno at Sequoia Brewing Company. And June 24th in Seattle, Washington at Showbox Soto Lounge. With special guest comedians and bands in every city featuring Loxy.
Baby, let's roll.
Comedy from Matt Edgar. Tickets and more information are available online at CorollaDrinks.com. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. In Seattle with Lynette Corolla and Ray Oldhopper. In Long Beach with Mike Dawson and the Smokin' Kills.
Standing in the backyard, looking for a tree to climb.
June 17th in Long Beach. June 22nd in Fresno. June 24th in Seattle. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour with Loxy and Matt Edgar. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.
It's Resume. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name's Chris Loxamana, and once again, this is the show where we go over people's resumes. It's really that simple and that easy. And today, ooh, I got a doozy. I got a really amazing dude next to me, Ronnie Ortiz Magro.
What's up, man? How
What's
are you?
Up? Good, man.
Good.
Thank you so much
Thanks
for coming into
me.
The
Thanks
show.
For having me.
Big fan. You know Ronnie, probably best from Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
He's also on Famously Single this next season, premiering July 9th
and
on
I was
E!
In the Three Stooges.
There you go.
The Three Stooges movie as well.
There, that's
the resume.
Where, that's where
the
we
resume,
know you
man.
From.
You gotta...
Dude, let's talk about that. Because, I mean, you weren't an actor or anything
yeah,
before.
I actually, believe it or not, after I did Three Stooges, I actually took up 2 years of acting in school. I studied Meisner method for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. So you're like legit now.
Yeah, well, not legit, but I stopped for a little, but I actually became something that I was actually interested in. It was a path that I was pursuing.
You're just used to being in front of the camera now. I mean, you got that fear out of the way, just like being able to be in front of a camera.
Yeah,
at
I
all
think
times
that's why I was able to do the acting thing, because it was like, I've done crazier shit on television, so it's like what? Why can't I just act? Like yeah. You know what I mean? It's like I've done some crazy shit, so it's like this is just a walk in the park. So
yeah,
it was good though.
You jumped over a few hurdles.
A few hurdles.
Yeah, yeah, you're good.
Like Olympic hurdles.
Oh, these are big hurdles, man. Famously Single season 2 premieres July 9th, and you're with Karina Smirnoff, Chad Johnson from The Bachelorette, David McIntosh, Dorothy Wink, Malika Hack.
Hawk.
I can't.
Yeah. Malika Hawk.
That's a tough one. And a Tiffany Pollard. Now, you're really well known for doing like or having like your relationships on TV or just like your
especially like a staple for
dude,
me at this point.
Yeah,
you know.
Because, I mean, you've been doing that.
I think I need one more show like this, and then maybe it won't happen because like third time's the charm. So I fucked up the first time, fucked up the second time. Maybe the third time will do it.
Yeah,
maybe they'll bring me back for a third season and Famously Single.
That's when we know it'll work.
Yeah.
So we know, but it's captivating. Though, yeah. Like I don't know, people we like watching that kind of stuff. It's but it must be it's just weird, right? I mean
it's you know what it is with both situations. It's with me. It's like with Sam, you know, with Jersey Shore. It was like, you know, I was I was always that Guido, that guy, you know what I mean? But, like, realistically, like, I wasn't fucking banging all these chicks, you know what I mean? So, like, when I found Sam and we connected and we had a bond, then it was just like, you know, we went through so much together, you know? So I think, and it's just that house, you know, it's that house, it brings you together, you know?
Yeah.
And then with Malika, it was, you know, the same scenario, except, you know, except we were going through, you know, because the show, they basically put you through challenges, you know, with other people, you know, and it's like you could either do it with the people in the house or you could do it with random strangers that the producers pick. So it's like, do I want to get to know the person that I'm living with for the next 3 weeks, or do I want to go get to know 8 random strangers and tell 8 different girls about my story, like my about my life?
Yeah, you know? That's why, so I can't watch like The Bachelor or anything. It's just like, it's too weird for me. It's too quick
fire. Exactly.
Like,
it's not real. I feel the guy's telling every girl he loves him.
That's
like,
weird.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But only you get a rose.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
or like, the girls, or like, are or even then the girls are into it too. They're like, I love him. No, I love him. Like, we just met this guy.
We got the girls cutting their wrists with the thorns from the roses and shit. He said he loved me.
Yeah, we have to start getting them roses without thorns now.
Without the thorns, make sure the thorns are not on the roses.
So do you like, I mean, you started Jersey Shore when you were 23.
Yeah, young.
So, young. I mean, you were in relationships before that. So, and then you've been in very public relationships and private relationships, things like that. Like the public relationships, I mean, that's just in a whole other world because people are watching your moves. You guys are together. Your girl's talking to somebody else. Like, it's like.
Yeah. The public ones, I feel like, were more. With Sam, it was more that, you know, the public was just always. Our whole relationship was on television.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's all archived.
You know, it's all archived. You know, it's like if we ever got married, you know what I mean? If we stayed together and we got married, it's like, you know, people have photos of, like, then they show their kids. Like, we could have 6 seasons of shit. To be like, hey, look, you want to see how we met? Here you go. It wasn't at a fucking McNeil. It wasn't at an arcade. You know what I mean? It's like, this is how we, you know, it's like, this is how we met. Just sit down and watch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when it's like, the kids will be traumatized. Like, Dad, Mom, like, oh, what the fuck? You know, but, yeah, I mean, with Sam, it was always. You know, I was very, very public with Sam because it was very, me and Malika, no one really knew about it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like kind of like a little thing for a little bit. I posted a picture, caused a little stir. Yeah. It caused a big stir. But, you know, Malika was just, it wasn't the same as Sam, realistically. You know, he got 2 months compared to 7 years.
And those are like such formative years in your life, too. I mean,
the most important years of my life. You know, your 20s, it's like, you know, that basically the foundation to where
you're
going to go ahead in life. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's like, you just took the best years of my life.
And I mean, and take it the way you, as you will, but I thought you were like the most, you showed your emotions the most out of all the other guys. Like, and I think that maybe you're just more comfortable in front of the camera or something, but like you were able to.
I'm just more real. You know, I'm who I am. You know, I can't act a certain way for anybody. You know what I mean? I'm very, very black or white. There's no gray with me. It's like, I either like you, I don't like you. And it's like, if I like you, you'll know that I like you because I'll joke. It will be great. And if I don't like you, you'll know because you'll be like, this guy just doesn't like me. I don't know. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, so
you'll know it.
That's what I'm saying. So I was never really, I was who I was. And I was on my heart on my sleeve. And I think that's why I still have the fan base and the love. And, you know, I still go out and people, you know, they just come up to me like they know me.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like because I let so much of myself out there that people are just like, they know me. Like, you know, like people walk up to me and be like, oh, Ronnie, what's up? And they don't even think like, hey, can
friends.
I get a picture? Yeah. Like, you know, like I'll be walking down, yo, Ronnie, what's up, bro? I'm like, man, I don't know you. Like, who are you? Like, yeah, like I went to school with him or something. But I guess because we grew up with them and I let so much of my life out there and let's, you know, like, and they saw everything of me.
That's what I preach. So people just hang on to honesty and just any sort of like, you didn't hold back and you're just completely truthful with everything. And like you could tell there wasn't a part of you thinking, oh, I'm in front of a camera. I should act this way. I should act that way. No, you were just completely, you did. Was that like something that you had to learn to do?
The first season, that was it. You know, it's not acting for anything for the camera because we never knew we didn't know what it was going to be.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
It was whatever. So it was just us. Second season, you know, a couple of things that I did, I knew that I would get a reaction and it's going to bring in the viewers and it's going to keep it going. And, you know, till this day, the producers still say, thank Ron and Sam, because if it wasn't for us, there wouldn't have been any more seasons because
those are the big arcs. Yeah.
You know, our shit was really just, you know, every people tuned in to see what Ron and Sam are going to do. Like, what is those two crazy motherfuckers, what are they going to do next week? Like, let's tune the fuck in, you know, 10 million viewers, you know, 8 million viewers. Those are,
you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. I literally said that to
literally,
people.
Like, I want
to
know what, because they would always leave you wanting more every episode. It's like, oh, it's like us getting mad. And then it's like, on next week's episode, you're like, oh, like, so you're like, you have to tune in. And then, yeah.
They just toyed their emotions. Did you get a lot of like producers trying to cook up like or altercations or things like that?
I could say that it wasn't produced because everyone's like, it was a produce. So it was 100% real, but they knew that we were young. They knew that there were certain situations that they would put us in under the influence of, say, alcohol, you know, or, you know, and just being in that house without cell phones, televisions, no computers.
Oh, man, you go crazy.
You know, only the duck phone. It's like, you know, you can't listen to music. You can't read books. You know, it's like prison. You know, we were high-paid prisoners. That's what I say. We were paid prisoners. You know, it felt like at one point.
Yeah,
you know?
Vinny said the same thing when I was talking to him about it, too. It's just like, like, you can't go in the bathroom, or the bathroom's the only place you could be, you could have privacy unless you're in with somebody else. Yeah. If you're in there for, like, a certain amount of time, then they could turn the cameras on.
Yeah.
I just found, like, all the weird, like, reality television rules was crazy. Like I can't see, like, even me just not going nuts.
I mean,
after that long.
The good thing about the show was that was the era of, like, still the Blackberries and stuff. So that was, like, before Twitter. And, you know, so people weren't really so much attached to their phone at that point. Mm-hmm. I think now it would be almost impossible to do, you know, because people are so attached to their phone. Back then, it was like, you know, we still had, like, Facebook and MySpace and shit like that. Now it's like you got Instagram, Vine, Snap, this,
everything,
that. People
everywhere.
Be flipping out. Like, oh, I can't Snap this, and I can't Vine this, and I can't Instagram this. I'm not filming. It'd be like, you know, it's like we didn't have a choice.
Yeah. People just go places just to take the photo. Yeah, there, you know? Yeah, and they're like, oh, we don't really care about enjoying it. We
just want people to see us there. Yeah, I just want the likes.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of like being without myself. And the other, like, I forget myself, and every once in a while, it's like, oh, this feels nice. Just,
I actually leave my Ringer off. Constantly. Jody, she I don't know where she is. Jody gets pissed.
Oh, yeah, she went nuts last week.
Last week, let me tell you about last week. I went to the Laker game for the last game, and my cousin works for the Lakers because he went to college with the Lakers owner, with the Lakers son.
Oh, nice.
The owner's son, Jesse, and, like, they're best friends. He's a really great guy. So my cousin works for the Lakers. He's a scout. And I went to the game or whatever. I went to Universal Studios that day. So I was exhausted from that.
That's
and I went
a long day.
Straight to the game. And then I was just like, and then we went down to the players' lounge. So I was like, had a couple drinks in me. Next thing you know, I'm in the Uber. You know, the girl that I was with, she called the Uber for us. Next thing you know, I'm on my way home, and I'm like,
you didn't do the pocket pat, but before you left,
and I was just like, because I constantly leave my phone on the seat.
Oh, yeah.
So I got up, and I guess I just...
It's easy, yeah.
And then I just, next thing you know, I'm in the Uber, and I'm just like, oh, and I'm like, it's too late to turn around. Next day, I try to get it. My cousin's like, listen, he's like, you gotta wait till later. He's like, no one's gonna be in there. Like,
yeah,
I'm like,
Clippers are in the playoffs. You gotta wait for, like, a game.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, so it was just a fuck. It's...
Oh, yeah, that always feeling.
Yeah.
That feeling
sucks. Well, I told her, because she's like, oh, you know, and I was like, listen, you know, tell him I'm really, really sorry and I apologize. He go, if somebody would have found that phone, I said, we would have had bigger things to worry about than missing a podcast. I said, okay. I said, we would have been doing some damage control over here. Okay. I said, let me tell you that real quick.
Yeah, dude, I'm always worried about that with my phone, too. Yeah, it's just, I mean, like, you know, like, yeah. If I, like, even, is that my phone? Oh, that's you. Oh, okay, yeah, no worries. Yeah,
sorry.
Oh, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's like, I always change, like, the names of my phones. Like, if they're, like, notable people or things like that, I'm always worried about, like, them finding their phone number to call.
Yeah.
So I always put, like, code names
and
things like that.
Well, the worst is I'm actually on the background of my phone. So I see myself.
This is Ronnie's phone.
Like, yeah, you know, people will be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get into this. And, like, it's like, I'm all, like, freaking out. I'm trying to sleep at night. I'm like, dude, if they unlock that phone... I'm like, they get into those photos. I'm like, photos. I'm like, he's going to be a problem.
For those listening, Ryan's actually sweating now.
Yeah,
like, he's getting anxiety.
Got hotter
just,
in here
just
thinking about it. Just thinking. Reliving it right now.
What could possibly happen if somebody came upon Ronnie's phone? I wouldn't know what to do.
You know, it's like...
But it is freeing. Other than that, but I guess you would have a different perspective.
Yeah,
like, my phone...
Yeah,
but if I forget at home, though, that's what I meant. If I left it out, I'd be nervous.
Yeah,
like, that thing's gone. Thing's going to be...
I thought it was gone. I was like, it's gone.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. We're all like, oh, Ronnie from Jersey Shore is missing.
Yeah.
Like, I hope he's all right, man.
It was like 34 text messages, 44 missed calls. I was like, God, I don't even want to deal with it right now.
Hey, you're here now. That's all that matters. Yeah. You're on the Koi Pond. That was awesome.
Koi Pond.
Yeah, dude, it was cool. Now, let's talk about, like, I kind of know the audition process just from Vinny and stuff, and if you listeners want to hear about, like, what it took for them to audition, definitely check out Vinny's episode of Resume, because he got into that. But so when you were doing it, you were 23. You're older than Vinny. Vinny was, like, just
21,
like,
he was.
Yeah,
he was
just
a baby.
A little baby.
He just turned 21, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so you actually still – you had some of your 20s under your belt before that. And it was just, what, partying, just hanging out?
No, I mean,
this is all just me being stereotypical.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, I was young, you know, I moved out of my – I had my first apartment when I was 17.
Oh, you dang, know? So you started early.
I lived in Arizona. I went to college in Arizona for a year from 18 to 19. Then I moved back to New York.
Wait, where in Arizona?
Scottsdale Community College.
Nice. So why'd you go out there?
I had friends and family out there.
Okay.
Yeah, like a family friend, basically. We knew each other since I was a little kid. This kid was my best friend, so I went to –
You're leaving the East Coast. Like, I'm going AZ.
Yeah, so you know, I was like, it's not working out in New York.
Go to the desert.
Try to go to the desert, see what's going on out there.
Obviously,
and
yeah.
And then, you know, I just came back to New York, and then I was like, you know, I did school for a little bit, realized that, you know, school really wasn't for me. You know, I couldn't really never caught my attention, you know, so.
Yeah, I hate college.
You know, like, yeah, you know, I mean, honest. It was just like, you know, and then I just started working for my grandfather. He did real estate, and my father, and then
and you kind of already knew that just from being around them growing up, right?
Like I was working at the office at 13 years old, answering the phone every Saturday. That's
so it was a world you were familiar with.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so what kind of like real estate did you do?
When I was doing real estate, I was doing like apartment rentals and selling houses and the whole nine.
Dude, were you like showing people places and things like that?
Yeah, everything, the whole
nine. What were some of your moves, like trying to, you know?
I mean, you know, it depended on the house, you know what I mean? If the house is like older, you'd have to like you know, the neighborhood is great, and you know the backyard's amazing, and you got to point out the really really nice things about it, you know, because even though the house isn't so great,
yeah, you're doors like, oh, doors yeah, a little broken, yeah, in. Know, oh, so it's a vintage
well, they
door.
Just, they just put in a brand new air conditioner. So the floors look like shit. The toilets don't flush, and there's no hot water.
Yeah. But that temperature, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's
temperature
right.
is just right.
That's what you guys are looking for. Yeah. Oh yeah, did you ever feel like guilty like selling like a piece of crap house to people?
No,
yeah,
not really.
Need
no,
to. Yeah,
I
you're
mean, there's,
for
listen,
the
there's a house for everybody, mm-hmm. you know. So what's a piece of crap to me could be to somebody's, you know,
yeah,
dream home.
On it.
You know, that could be like their dream home. You know,
yeah. So I don't know anything about that. All my friends are doing that now. It's a good business to get into. Like, and you know, my whole Facebook feed is just like, hey, if you're thinking of buying this house,
yeah, that's me. Everyone's a real estate broker now. I'm more on the investment ends now. I do hard money loans, and I met me and my father's company used the money that I have, and we flipped the houses and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm not really showing houses anymore.
Yeah.
I have my face on a sign. Like, call Ronnie.
Oh, yeah. You have your own billboard or a bus bench or things like that?
Remax. Call Ronnie at Remax. The side of the thing. Like, you know, $1 million listing.
Oh, man. I wish I could see one of those photos. Yeah. Like when your real estate headshots with the red jacket.
Oh, no. I never had the head. I just had the sign. I couldn't afford the headshot one.
Oh, yeah.
It's too expensive.
Hey, man, I'd still trust you because that room was perfect temp.
Perfect temperature.
Yeah, yeah. So you're doing real estate. You moved out 17 to go to Scottsdale, not working out. So then
I always worked out.
Oh, worked out.
I mean, you meant working out like gym. I didn't even like working out like worked out in life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. We know you always work out, right? All right. We know. Jeez, man. Yeah, you're about to bust out of that shirt. Like, don't laugh too hard. So Scottsdale wasn't working out for you. You were
well, no,
still
Scottsdale was good. I just missed home.
It was all right. Yeah,
you know?
Just got a little homesick.
I was still young. You know what I mean? I missed my family.
You tried something out.
Tried something new. You know, I was from the Bronx, and you know, New York was all I knew. And I was like, you know what? Why not try something new? I got family out there. I got friends out there.
Since it's years before any of the Jersey Shore stuff, are you even in your head at all? Is there the entertainment industry at all?
No, I really thought I was just going to do real estate for the rest of my life. You know, that was just really where my head was at. Got my real estate agent, and I became a broker, and then, you know, and then turned 22, 23, and then I just started going to the shore. You know, I started making a little bit of money, and then the weekends I would, you know, go to the shore. My friend had a house, so we would go to the shore, and I'd stay at his house on the weekends, and, you know, be like – girls in one room, guys in the other rooms, like eight beds in a two bedroom.
You know, you guys just pack the place.
Just packing the place in, but having the best time, you know, just memories for life.
That's like that'd be the equivalent of going to Vegas and just packing a hotel room with bunch of people.
Eight people and two double beds.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah,
people sleeping in
there.
The tub.
Oh, man.
Can you guys bring up extra blankets and pillows?
I'm going to lay out this bathroom. This is my spot right here. Like that's what it was.
And I know. I've been there, yeah. So, then I turned 23, and then, you know, we were going out to the shore, and I was just out one night, and I wasn't even supposed to be there. I was supposed to go home that morning, and I ended up staying for some girl. She ended up bailing and going back, like, upstate somewhere, wherever the hell she was from, the sticks, and ended up going out that night. Actually, my buddy's like, oh, because usually we would leave.
Mm-hmm.
Late night, because there's so much traffic getting back to New York, because everybody from New York would go to the shore. So Sunday night traffic on the shore was like,
yeah. So you went out
on Sunday.
It was like
a 4:05 at like 5 o'clock, but like at like 8 o'clock at night, for like just crawling home for like 2 hours. So we'd be like, all right, we'll go home at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So we went out, you know, hit this bar DJs, and next thing you know, I'm just hitting on some girl that I was talking to for a little bit, and then some girl comes to me and she's like, you know, why don't you you know, you fit the criteria. You got spiky hair. You got muscles. You got tattoos. You look like a douchebag. Perfect.
How many of those were around, though? I mean,
that's the crazy thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, that was the thing. I don't know if – I feel like she was watching me for a little bit because she was very – like, she was like – I saw her in the corner with her notepad and stuff.
Oh, she actually had like
– Yeah, she had like a notepad.
What was she wearing? Was she like – was she at least in club attire? Or
She stood out like a lot because she didn't look like a shore girl.
Weird.
She looked like a very hippie-ish, you know, like regular, like a gothic kind of, you know, like normal, regular. And I'm just like, not, you know, big nails. Yeah, not a Jersey Shore girl, you know. I'm like, you could tell this girl, like, she doesn't come here a lot, you know. So I was just like, you know, and she's just like, can I have your number? And I'm like, yeah, you know, you're kind of interrupting me. I struck out once today. You know, now you're cock blocking me again. So you're like, you're really messing with my flow. So I was like, yeah, here's my number. Call me. So, you know, 2 days later, I'm at work and I'm like, you know what? If I get a phone call and she's like, I really want you to come do this interview. She's like, drive to Long Island. It's like 45 minutes from me. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, you know, I have to show a house at 4:30. I'm like, I have to be back. She's like, okay, it's 11 o'clock. She's like, can you be here? I said, I'll change it.
What was her pitch? Like, why would she – how could she get you to
just
come?
Like, she was just like, I really – she's like, I'm going to push for you. She's like, I'm pushing for you. She's like, I want you to come
there's
do
a
this.
TV, so she told you, there's a TV show. Yeah, I want you to be in it.
Yeah, she's like, I want you to be in it. She's like, I'm pushing for you. She's like, I need you to come do this video interview.
Any, like, promise of money or anything like that?
No, there's no money, none of that. No. So she's like, you know, come drive to Long Island. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know what? I grabbed one of my buddies, jumped in the car, took the ride with me, pulled up to the house. Creepy. It looks like that Nightmare on Elm Street house. There's plywood on the windows.
Was it an actual house? It's like a site they found?
No, it was a house. It was like a legit house. God. The girl lived there. I went to her house.
It was her house. Oh, I thought she rented the space out.
No, she rented the apartment in the back.
Oh,
so I text her and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm here. And she's like, all right, come around back. So I'm like, I look at my buddy now and I go, if I'm not out in 10 minutes, call the cops. I go, okay. So I go inside, I go around the back, and then, but I felt safer because once I got out the car, I saw somebody that looked like me come out and get into his car. So I was like, oh, it was like, okay, I'm not going to get raped.
Yeah.
This is great.
That's a good sign.
You know, I go up there. And we just do the interview, and I was, you know, she got me comfortable really quick. Next thing I have my shirt off in front of the camera, and I'm just like, yeah. I think they had the auditions. They play them on Jersey Shore, the DVDs. Like, they have our auditions on the unedited versions, so it's pretty funny. And next thing you know, a week later, it was, you know, they found me 4th of July weekend, and we started filming August 1st. So all this happened between 4th of July and August 1st. So then they flew me out to L.A. They're like, you know, come out to L.A. for the weekend. You know, you have work. Come out to L.A. for the weekend. Cool. Flew me out to L.A., put me in Simi Valley and some fucking La Quinta hotel. Took my wallet, took my cell phone. And they were just like, all right, well, we're going to do interviews. You know, so I was in the hotel for like 24 hours. Flew me back to New York. Don't hear anything from anybody for like
But getting a flight just cross country like makes it seem cool. Pretty official, right? Like,
I mean, you know, I just feel like, you know, like anything could happen.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, you know, I just wanted to get away from work, to be honest. To be fucking honest. I was working 6 days a week. When you work for your family, you know, you have to work more.
They'll
because
work
it's like, yeah, you
have
to work.
No problem. Like,
yeah, it's like, no, I work more because I work for my family. It was more of a pain of an ass. So it was like, you know what? I just need to get away for a little bit. I'll go, I'll do the interview. And then, you know, 8 days go by. And I still remember I was in the gym and I was doing triceps that day. And I remember
I got
the phone, big day.
Yeah.
Tries and pull ups, big day. And, you know, and I get the phone call and I saw the number was a 818 number. And I'm like, all right, fuck it, you know? And I pick up and they're just like, hey, Ronnie, you know, how you doing? This is whoever from, you know, 495 Productions. And just want to see, you know, I just want to let you know, congratulations, you're on the show. And I'm like, cool. Now what? And they're like, oh, well, you're going to pack your stuff and we're going to go to the shore. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, what? I just packed for the weekend, right? We'll be back on Sunday. No, you're going to be gone for a month.
Whoa.
I was like, hold on a second. I said, but I got a job. I have an apartment. I have bills. I have a car to pay for. I have insurance. Bills. I have cable. I'm like, I'm a grown up. I'm a grown up. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we cannot do this.
Yeah, I was like, and then I wasn't going to do it. I should have told Joy that, but yeah, I wasn't going to do it because that day that they did that, I actually had a state test to be a correctional officer. So I was like, oh, you know, what do I do? Am I going to blow this test off where
this
I can
opportunity,
actually, this
yeah.
opportunity, you know, can I do, I blow this, you know, city job with, you know, with great pay and all this other stuff to go do some fucking show that not paying me and I don't even know what the hell's going on. And you know what I said? Fuck it. I'm going to go do the show.
Yeah.
They're not going to pay me and see what's going on. And you know what I thought?
Trust your gut.
Yeah. You know, and what in my mind, I was just gonna be like, you know what? It'll be like a real world. We'll get one season. I'll become a personal trainer or a bartender. I'll make some money and, you know, and then I'll just go back into real estate. And, you know, that was honestly my mindset.
Yeah, you could fall back in it.
Yeah, you know, that was my mindset. You know, I'll be a personal trainer and people will be like, oh, I saw you on that one
season.
That's
that guy,
you know, that's that guy. And like, you know, I'll pay you a little extra to train me or, you know, be a bartender. I'm going to tip him more, like, you know. And then next thing you know, we're fucking on the cover of fucking Daily News, New York Post, you know, we were just everywhere.
At what point did you realize that that show became a phenomenon?
When we were on the cover of Daily News and the New York
Post.
Like,
oh,
most controversial show, you know, I think it was the most controversial reality show ever.
It was.
Yeah. Those are the titles. That was it.
They
most
had
controversial.
It right, dude. Yeah. Like there's nothing like that ever. Nobody's ever seen anything like that.
Yeah, we kind of set the bar on that one.
Yeah, and that's just it's just being in front of those cameras all the time, like for like a month on end, then you leave and you come back for the same people every time. It's just, I mean, you develop good relationships.
We all have great bonds, and we're all, you know, we might not all keep in touch and talk every day, but like, when we see each other, it's almost like you pick up right where you started, you know, and that's a great bond to have with people that you never knew, you know, majority of your life. And then they came into your life and now they're like family. Like, you know, I've been to Nicole's wedding, Jenny's wedding, like, you know, like it's, we're a part of each other's lives. You know, I go to see Paulie when he does his, when he DJs in Vegas, you know, you know, when Vinny used to do UCB and he would do stand up, I would go see him at UCB.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when Sam used to do her fashion stuff, like, you know, so we're all constantly supporting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's so cool about Vinny. Like, I love that he's like getting a comedy like that.
Yeah, you know, he did it already. He was in UCB. He did all four levels for a while.
And like he hosted that show and he was like on Food Network and stuff. Like, he's killing it, man. Yeah, he's funny, too.
Yeah, me and Vinny have some funny conversations.
We'll just leave it there.
Actually, yeah.
Because you both, like, I've met a few of the cast, but, like, you guys are hilarious. Like,
me and
both
Vinny,
of you.
We always, we feed off each other very well. I mean, Vinny were very, you know, they showed Paulie and Vinny being close on the show. They were fun because they banged chicks together and, like, they, you know, they joked around, but me and Vinny had that, like, that real friendship bond, you know, because Vinny was going to leave the show. You
that's
know,
right.
The first week, he was like, Ron, you know, like, we're at dinner, and they're like, yo, Vinny's fucking snapping. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And like Vinny's snapping. So like, all right, let me get up and go talk it there. And like, he's just like, bro, what are we doing? We're 21 years old. We're at the fucking Italian restaurant. They're calling us Guidos. He's like, I just graduated college. He's like, I got student loans to pay and shit. He's like, I was like, listen, dude, I go, I'm 23 years old. I got an apartment at home. I left my job. I was like, I got a 4-year-old Armani exchange shirt on. I said, in dirty ass New Balances. I go, get the fuck back inside. I said, get the fuck back inside and let's have a good time and enjoy this shit and ride it out. And he's like, you know what? Until this day, if you call Vinny up right now, and I'm like, bro, 4-year-old Armani exchange shirt, dirty New Balances, he'll be cool. He's like, that's what made me stay.
That pep talk, man.
Yeah, dude. Like, we always had that like brother bond.
Yeah,
you know?
So yeah, you're right. We didn't really get to see that in the show, but that's because they're so focusing so much on you and your relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you didn't really get to see like your bond with like the dudes as much.
They showed it more later on when Vinny was going through his stuff and like, you know, I was the one that, you know, he would go to and he would talk to because realistically I was the most level headed in a way, you know, like,
oh yeah.
You know, it's like, you're gonna go to Snooki at the time, or you're gonna go to Dina or something like that, you know, like, you know, Sam was good, but you know, like, it's like they're all, you know,
yeah, and you got and you already gave him that pep talk at the beginning too. So he knows, like, this guy
and
knows.
Me and Vinny always hung out between seasons and we always, you know, we were friends, you know, so.
Yeah. So Jersey Shore ends.
Yeah.
And then so what happens to you after that?
I mean, Jersey Shore ends and me and Sam moved in together and I did the husband thing for a little bit. We lived together for 2 years.
Oh, nice.
And then that didn't work out. So then I was like, you know,
that's
what?
That's a big step. I was talking to my friend who's married and he said, like, look, man. Moving in was a bigger lifestyle change than getting married.
Well, you know what it was? I didn't mind it because I lived with her already.
Oh, that's right. Like, you guys, it was
like,
that's right.
It was like, I know I can live with her. You know, it's not like you, because you know when they say like when you move in with somebody is when you find out who they really are. And I've seen people
you
that,
already knew who she was.
Yeah, I already knew who she was. Like, I know the good,
that's
the
true.
Bad. So
didn't even think about that. Yeah, yeah, you guys have loved each other for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like, all right, might as well. It's like, just like basically, why don't we just continue instead of always going back and forth? And you know, so
make our own little confessional room.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Yeah. We had our own little guest room and fucking vent in there, and then we'll come back out. And, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know. So, but yeah. So then I moved out to California. And I've been out here for about 3 years now.
You like it out here?
Love the weather. You know,
it's just like
California. You know, you got the beach, you got the city, you got snowboarding. You know, you go up north.
Every
to San
element,
Francisco.
Man.
You got everything.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest with you. People here are the complete opposite of the way like New Yorkers are.
Oh, they're totally,
you know,
different.
It's like, it really is just a complete, like, it's like literally the complete opposite.
But how so? Like, I'm like LA, like, is I find
like
just...
I feel like people from the East Coast pride themselves more on tradition and you know, loyalty and honesty, you know. And I feel like at the West Coast people are always just trying to Just get ahead and try to
step on other heads to get ahead.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Like,
it's like, you know, in the pool, the kid that's like drowning the other kids and trying to get that. But they're like the biggest kid that then they're just like drowning the kids.
Ronnie like, just drowned like 40 kids.
That's literally what it's like.
No, I understand. Like, I was talking to somebody and she said, like, being in LA, it's hard to even just have a conversation with someone because they're like secretly just looking behind you, seeing if like somebody more important just walked through the door that they can, you know, that they could talk
to. And then that, and they're already worried about what they're going to say. They're not listening to what's coming out of your mouth. They're already in their head thinking about what they have to say to you. You know what I mean? They're not listening to what's coming out of you. Like, you know, they hear everything and there's words and
no
your lips are moving and it's just like, and then they can say what they want to say.
They're just waiting for the space, like double dutch.
Yeah,
like, So you think that's just like a West Coast thing? Then
I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, I feel East Coast just has more tradition. You know,
I
like,
don't doubt that. I,
you know,
I agree.
Like it was Easter this Sunday. You know, and everyone's in Coachella. You know what I mean? I mean, Donald Trump just fucking bombed Syria, and these people are in fucking Coachella right now. Like, you know, it's like
he's dropping Molly.
Yeah,
like,
he's dropping Molly.
Got some lasers.
Taking fucking GX to see the whole nine. And this guy Trump's over here blowing fucking places up. I'm like, hey, at least they're enjoying the end of the world.
True. That's interesting. So, do you see yourself living here much longer? Or like, I mean, the industry's here, so you guys got to kind of stick around.
The end game would, I would love to, you know, stay in California and, you know, eventually, you know, be here, but definitely more probably San Diego. I'm more of a fan of. I'm going to be honest with you. You know,
San Diego, I think, is like paradise because when people think of California, you know, they think, oh, let's go to Hollywood, let's go to Santa Monica. I'm like, no,
San Diego. Yeah, I'm going this week,
paradise.
And I'm like, I love it there. Like, yeah. I love San Diego.
It's like taking what all the nice parts of California, because
and they put it into one little spot.
Yeah, and it's multiplied by like 100 compared to anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean it's great. You got the city, you got the beach. You know, so much different stuff to going on in San
Diego.
You
got this dope ass zoo.
Yeah, you got the zoo, Sea World. You know what I mean?
It's everything. It's great. It and you can just walk around anywhere, like the Gas Lamp District. Yeah, really cool.
Gas Lamp PB. Yeah. You know, have all the strips of bars on the running the Strand. You know, it's great.
How is bar hopping for you these days? Like,
I don't really hop too much.
Yeah,
you know?
I figured like bar you can't hopping. Like there's no way you'd be able to get around, right?
Yeah, no. You know, if I go with a large group of people, or if like I was in Vegas on Sunday and I went to a bar, but like I said, it was Vegas. There's nobody there because it was Easter. You know what I mean? But like usually I wouldn't do a bar. Usually I would do a club because they have VIP and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, majority of my friends work in that industry, so I just go hang out with them.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, is it hard for you to, like, go out and do stuff now? Because, I mean, like, they're trying to take selfies with you.
You'll see on the show they put us in a situation where they try to put us I think it was like they brought us to like Universal on a Friday, you know, like when they have like the Halloween thing, you know, when they have the Halloween.
So it was the
like
night
they try to like film us there, and it lasted about 3 seconds because it was like, all right, we want you to hit on some random people, and I'm like, okay, every person I walk up to, oh my god, aren't you? I said, well, that's not going to work, and I just like, and then every girl I met was like 16. I'm like, hey, so you know. How old are you girls? They're like, 16. I'm like, these motherfuckers are trying to put me in jail. I'm like, I'm over this. I'm like, I'm done with this challenge. I told them I'm done with this challenge. Next challenge, please.
Oh, like
16 will get you 20.
Thanks,
yeah, like, I'm right there.
Bye. Never was here.
So.
Didn't sign a waiver. Bye.
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, like stuff like that when I was asking about like the cook stuff. Like, yeah, it's just like crazy that just having to like be put in situations where they're just hoping that something happens and like they're just like confrontations or altercations or just weird stuff happens.
Famously Single was more, it was just challenges, you know, and I think this season's going to be very, very, it's light, it's more comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And
it sounds a lot more lighter, than the other stuff.
Yeah, the first season was kind of like, you know what I mean? Like they were just getting the swing of it. And I feel like we had more chemistry in the house. You know, I feel like it was almost like a Jersey Shore house. It was a lot of funny shit that happened. You know, it was like, it kind of brought back memories of Jersey Shore.
Dude, I can't wait, man.
Yeah,
all of you guys are like pros in front of the camera anyways. Yeah, like,
but it was good because you took 8 different kind of reality stars.
Yeah.
You know, you got like the guy from The Bachelorette. And then you got like the guy that's done Big Brother. Then you got the kid from Jersey Shore. Then you got the girl from the Kardashians.
Dancing with the Stars.
And then you got the Dancing with the Stars. Dude. And then you got the girl from New York. I love New York. So it's not like, you know, you took like.
It's like the All Star.
Yeah, you know, it's like you're taking a reality star from all kinds of. Like, you know, how do I say it? I always say, you know, we're all on the same path, different paths, but we all ended up in the same place, which is pretty cool.
When you like meet people that don't know who you are and they're like, oh, what do you do? What do you say?
Like, oh, me? You don't say reality star.
Yeah,
I'm just like, you know, I do television and real estate.
Yeah, oh, really? You say real estate? Because you got something going on.
Yeah.
Like still, right?
Yeah.
You're like, you're investing.
Well, I have my company with my father in New York. We flip houses, do hard money loans. And then I have a warehouse, 2 warehouses out here in California as well.
Yeah. Long Beach.
Yeah, Long Beach.
I'm from Long Beach.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah, man.
I'm right by.
You don't live in Long Beach,
do you? No. It's nice though. It's up and coming.
Yeah,
like the downtown area.
I just moved out there. Actually,
you like it?
I love it, man.
Yeah.
It's totally up and coming.
Yeah,
it's
gonna be huge. It's good.
Yeah, everybody's moving. It's kind of becoming like getting the popularity of like Portland or like actually I think Portland becoming Long Beach. To be honest, that's just because I grew up in Long Beach, but it's just like it's just becoming this big place. Just you know, everyone's riding their bikes. Everyone's like you know all the crazy restaurants. Like you know,
they have a lot of restaurants down there now. A lot of good places,
good people, good bars, good everything. Like I actually am moving back there from. I lived out in LA for years, and I'm moving back there like next month.
Yeah, man, LA is fucking just.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. I live in Santa Monica now. I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, see, I always found myself just going back to Long Beach every weekend.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, I should just live here.
That's the thing. The second I'm like, even now, coming here in the traffic, I'm like, Dude, this is why I fucking don't even bother. This is why I got out of here. I'm like, you can't, you have like two meetings in Hollywood and that's your day. And like, that's supposed to be like an accomplished day for you.
Because, yeah, like 2 40-minute meetings.
Yeah, and then sit in traffic for 4 hours. And then like, you feel like you did something. You're like, I'm so exhausted.
And then you think like, what did I do today? Yeah. Why am I so tired? What did I accomplish today?
Yeah, it's nothing, just stress from being in traffic.
Yeah, and then you just feel like pathetic. That was my whole day. Why am I so tired? Like,
I live in the Marina. I wake up, I go to the gym. I'll go run on the beach, or I'll ride my bicycle on the beach, or I'll hit the food. I'll go food shopping, or like, you know, I'll get shit like done. I'm like moving in Hollywood. It's like wake up, breakfast, gym, one meeting, and then 3 o'clock, and then after 3 o'clock, you can't get anywhere in Hollywood between three and seven.
Oh, it's closed.
Three and seven. That's it. The 101 Sunset Boulevard might as well just be closed because it's ridiculous.
You're not getting anywhere. Yeah, no. It's to the point where like no matter what's happening, like it's such a hassle. Like. Because just thinking, I could have gotten there, you know, if the freeways were open. These are for people who don't live in LA. If the freeways are open, you can get from somewhere. That usually takes 20 minutes.
25 minutes to get everywhere.
Will take hours.
Hours. 11 miles is like 59 minutes.
Yeah, and you just go out of your mind. They should make a reality show about that. You go out of your mind there. Yeah. Like, dude, like, it's the same thing.
Put people in, put like cameras in Ubers and watch people freak the fuck out because they've been sitting in traffic for so long.
The 405.
Yeah, that's 101, the 405. Horrible.
Yeah. I hate just even talking about that. And you're right. Just like it is as bad as everybody says it is.
It is. I mean, you know, I live in New York my whole life, and you know, I'm like, oh, New York traffic, New York. But you know, it's just like in the big cities. But like LA is just fucking. California in general is just traffic everywhere. Going from here to San Diego, from San Diego back, from here to San Francisco, it's like just traffic everywhere. Yeah, it's just like you guys need some fucking subways.
You should just hang out till 2 a.m. and then just drive at 2 a.m.
Subways, get with it. 2017.
There's no way there's gonna be public transportation. They keep talking about it. Yeah, there's
like,
no.
Yeah, your bus system is the worst here.
It's awful. Yeah. So let's see. So you got the Long Beach real estate. Like, can you talk about like a little bit what you're doing in Long Beach?
Well, yeah, I purchased properties in Long Beach, commercial properties, because they basically last year they recreationalized medical marijuana, so now it's recreational in California. So I'm investing in a couple properties and applying for the licensing so that this way I could start getting involved with I really want to do things with CBD for kids. You know, I've been working with a group called Canna Kids. You know, they work kids with epilepsy and cerebral palsy, epilepsy.
Oh, man.
You know, a lot of autism and stuff like that.
I didn't know it was like that kind of research. I thought you were just trying to get everybody high.
I want to do that, and then I also want to do, you know, pen extractions and stuff like that, you know, vape pens and stuff like that. That's kind of where
those
I'm
are
going.
Huge. Yeah,
the
too,
oil.
Yeah.
The oil is basically where I'm going. Yeah, with it. So,
and yeah, you know, man, good luck with that. Yeah, that's cool. You, like, yeah. I didn't think like you were in all that.
Well,
all
honestly,
the business stuff
to be honest with you, I've been smoking since I was 16. Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing my mom said to me when she's like, she always said, she's like, I'd rather you be a pothead than an alcoholic. And that always stuck with me.
I think a lot of people are if you like, because if you're a functioning pothead,
I am a functioning pothead.
Yeah, because I mean, you
done.
Got the, yeah,
like,
exactly.
I date girls and they're like, you smoke a lot. Like, but you get so much accomplished.
See, that,
I'm like,
that shouldn't bother anybody.
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, it keeps me sane. I'm like, that's what it does. I'm like, it keeps me like from like fucking flipping out on people.
Yeah. So I get Ronnie joint. Yeah,
give it to him. Ronnie's laying. They usually have it rolled up. He'll be fine. I'll get off the plane fucking livid, bitching, complaining. Who's got my luggage? This, that. And then I get in the car and I'll be like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah,
Ronnie, what do you want? I don't care. I'll do whatever. Good. I'm good. I don't care.
Light in case of emergency. Yeah, there you go. And so you've been smoking for that long.
I feel like it's you know, compared to, you know, you got all these pharmaceutical drugs and, you know, and alcohol in itself, you know, people dying from liver cancer and, you know, liver failure and people dying from lung cancer from cigarettes, you know, it's like, you know, do a study where it says anything that, you know, marijuana's killed somebody. If anything, it saves people. My aunt's had cancer for almost 10 years now, and she's been smoking. She smokes more than a chimney. Yeah. And you know what? She's still living, and she's got no cancer. You know, I got people that are now.
All the studies are just like, I can't stand them. Like, all the, because they keep changing all the time. Yeah. Like, oh, well, this study shows this. Well, actually,
you know, like,
all the stuff I grew up with is now wrong. So.
Exactly. It's like, you know, the stuff that you were told when you were young is completely not the truth. So it's like, what was I been learning my whole life? You know what I mean? It's like, remember Ronald Reagan, you know, just say no to drugs.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And now you go outside and it's like you could smoke it's in cool. front of a, you could smoke in front of a cop and the cop like
pass that over.
Like, hey, what is that OG Kush, that's good stuff, man. Like you're like, damn officer, like this, it just took a pound of that for some kid the other day, like, you know, it's like
what is happening,
you know, it's crazy. But I mean, I was always for it, you know. I'm not even a big drinker. You know, I'd rather chill at home, smoke, watch a movie, you know, do some chill shit, smoke, go to the beach. You know, I'm not really into getting drunk. And, like, I'm not that guy that'll sit at home. You know, the people that are like, I had a couple beers when I got home. I'm like, that doesn't really do anything for me. Like, you're killing my muscle memory. You're giving me a gut. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're fucking with my skin. Like, you know, it's like.
Alcoholism is like, yeah, and it's just, it ruins a lot.
And it's like, you don't, like, you know. Fuck it, bro. I was like, I'll say it. I just did the fucking Joe Coy show. I fucking doing this show. I did mad shit today. I went to the gym. I fucking made breakfast. I went to the fucking supermarket. And you know what I did? The first thing I did when I woke up, I smoked a bowl. And I still did all that shit. And I'm going to do more shit when I get out of here.
You know? That's more than I did.
Yeah.
You
know, it's like, it's like, I think that, you know, if you woke up and took a shot, would you be able to function?
Oh, no way. Some people have to. But
yeah, but they're not functioning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I did have a beer today, and yeah, that's kind of like the end of my day. But yeah. All right, I'm done now.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
so I'm going to go to sleep. Oh, wait, yeah. Ronnie's coming in. All right, let me wake up a little bit and wait for him to get back in here. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird change in culture, but I think I see it going the way you're saying.
I like to be the fact that I'm a part of that generation where it's going to be different, you know, because I get to see from where it was to where it's at now and hopefully to where it's going to be, you know.
Yeah, and you'll be part of it now.
Yeah.
So let's just lastly talk a little bit about your acting, because you mentioned you're Three Stooges.
Yes, Three Stooges.
Big man. Yeah. And so tell me, like, you took acting classes.
Yeah,
like,
I took acting classes in New York, Tada Theater, with Dina Levy. It was actually the same teacher that Channing Tatum studied with.
Oh, so nice.
She was great. She's amazing. So if anybody ever does acting in New York, Dina Levy, Tada Theater, she's like a mom, you know. She really cares about you having pride in your acting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not just a number or a check to her. Like, she wants to see you. You know, she'll call your bullshit. You know,
those are
mean?
The best kind of.
Yeah,
you know, they're very hard to find.
Yeah, that's why when I moved out to LA, I didn't really pursue it as much, because I sat in on a couple of classes and it just wasn't that same feeling. It was that
there's no passion like that.
Yeah, everybody's just like, I got muscles and I'm good looking, or like I have big tits and a pretty face, and like I'm gonna be an actress now. It's like I said, like, you know, it's like
you could get famous like that, but yeah being an actor,
that does not longevity. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like New York is where people go, and if they are considering doing acting, New York is the place to start and get your foundation and get all of your elements and your steps and your methods down, and then come to LA. Like, when you're confident enough to know that the guy next to you, just because he looks like he's a great actor and he's handsome, his skills are nowhere going to be compared to yours, because you're just confident in that. Even though you might not look as good as him, but you're still going to be in, I'm going to kill this. Like, he could have his nice hair and his big muscles and be tall, but I'm going to still do my thing because I'm confident in my work.
Yeah, see, that surprised me, because, like, going by your Jersey Shore personality, I would have thought that you were the guy that went up, like, I got big muscles, I'm a good-looking dude. But you actually went through the gamut, and you actually trained yourself, like, and you actually refined your skills and you learned how to do it.
Yeah, I did two years of UCB. I did, and then I did 2 years of the Meisner Method study as well.
Yeah, and UCB, that's where you learn to listen.
That
too.
That's fun, because you know it's, you know, you do the, I had to do two of the I forgot what they're called. Basically, you do the improv at the end of the end of the course. You got to do like a big, and you invite your friends and your family, and there's like 300 people, and it's just like, and it's great, because you're just like, you're out there and they're just like throwing suggestions out, and you're like in the group, you're like, all right, give me a suggestion. They're like, fancy restaurants, and then you got to do a scene, and it's like, got to make it funny. So you sit down and you're like, oh my god, like, I can't believe, like, you've taken me on a date to Applebee's, like, you know. Like, yeah, so it's like, you gotta like like, wow, such a fine establishment. Do you think this is real plastic utensils? Like, you know, it's like, so it's really, it was
you,
really
you didn't
great.
Do that with Vinny though, did you?
No.
You guys did it separately?
We did it separately.
Oh, that's super cool.
He got into it first, And then, you know, I noticed that it made, I saw it loosened him up more on the camera as well. So then I started to get into it too, and I noticed that it did. It definitely works. It helps you loosen more confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the lot. You got to have that in front of a camera, you know, because if you don't have any confidence in yourself,
yeah,
the camera's going to show, and then people are going to be like, look at this putz.
Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, I feel like you got to, it's like you got to kind of do a little bit extra because they're going to see you and they're going to recognize who you are and like what
that,
you did.
That was so also kinda... the was a downfall is that I was categorized.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, well, you always be. But then it's like, you know, you look at The Rock though, and you look at Vin Diesel. And
that's
you look
the same.
At Mark Wahlberg.
And all you got to do is just hear you talk, just hear you speak. You're like, yeah. Oh, this guy's cool. Like,
yeah,
what are you
yeah,
talking about?
I appreciate it. Yeah,
yeah. No, yeah. I'm serious. Like, you come off that way. And it's funny that you say, like, The Rock are just like, yeah, it's like you're a charming guy, like, charismatic, and just like, oh, this isn't the, you know, the bonehead that the MTV commercials where
that's why
heard, like,
that
played him out to be.
That's why I did Famously Single, because I feel like the last thing I'd left was Jersey Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's like, it's not like they play season 4, 5, or 6 where there was no fighting and like where we all got along. They play season 2, 3, and 1 where I'm beating people up and me and Sarah
you're
fighting.
A young guy in your 20s. Like.
Yeah, you know, they show like, they're showing like my worst moments, and that's what's constantly playing over in people's heads. And like, you know, and it's like.
And that's how we're getting to know you.
And that's how people like that. I didn't want it to be the last impression. So I did Famously
Single. I don't think it
single,
should. Yeah, I think this is the right move.
It was like, you know what? Let me show who I am and show that. You know, I think I got along with everyone in the house. You know, I had a bond with everybody, and you know, I think I'm way more charismatic and way more fun on the show than I was on Jersey Shore, and they show that more.
You should do like more podcasts or something. You're a good talker.
You're real.
Like it's just it makes sense. Yeah. Man. You should do something. Like I mean, I know you're really active like with your social media and stuff.
Yeah.
I
try to keep up with it. I'm not really that
lot.
Crazy. Yeah. You know, it's too much with the Snap and the Instagram and the Facebook. It's like. It's like, I don't really want people knowing what I'm doing all the time anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
Good way to communicate their fans. I mean, yeah, you got a big following that, you know, that knows who you are. And
yeah, for sure.
I think, you'll be all right. Yeah, famously you know. Single, second season.
Second
premieres.
Season.
July 9th. Come on, guys.
10 p.m.
It's going to be a good summer.
It is going to be a good summer.
On E, 10 p.m.
Set your DVR.
Set your DVR. Just watch it live.
Sit.
Watch it online. They'll have episodes online.
Watch it on your
like
iPhone,
everywhere.
iPad, iTouch, UTouch,
play
me touch.
Play it on all your devices because I think it counts for them.
All in sync with each other all at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Help them out. Do that.
Help me out. Come on.
Yeah. Not like, you don't need it. You're going to be fine. You got Famous Single. And we'll look out for, you know, just anything else you're doing. Social media, Instagram, Twitter, Real Ronnie Magro.
Yes, sir.
So, and you guys can find him there and reach out to him. Let him know how much you enjoyed his appearance on Resume and in the Koi Pond and just wherever he is.
Yes,
and just and just follow where he's doing, because he's going to be doing big things. And I mean, he'll smoke a bowl in the morning, but he's going to do a lot. He's going to do.
I'm going to get shit done.
Yeah, he'll get stuff done. And for those listening, once again, my name is Chris Loxamana. This has been Resume. We'll let you know.
Thank you, sir.